From KUOW, 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. The 100 Smartest Cities, 31 Problems Only People with Curly Hair Will Understand, 23 Images That Will Change the Way You Look at Harry Potter. These stories are catnip for readers, and that's why you see so many of them. But why is that? Matthew Sigalnik is the professor of sociology at Princeton University. His new research shows that these beloved lists may be causing more harm than good. And Matt joins us now. Matt, thanks for taking the time.
Oh, thank you, Ross.
What are the top reasons that Americans love lists? You may put it in list form if you'd like.
Sure. I think one of the reasons, we'll go from 3 to 1. The third reason is that popularity lists, such as the most emailed articles in the New York Times or the most downloaded songs on iTunes, they help us find things that we might enjoy. So really, when we're looking at those lists, we're asking the question, like, what's the best stuff? And actually, that's really a hard question. And so we ask a somewhat easier question, which is, what's everyone else reading or listening or watching? A second reason that we love these popularity lists is that they help us find things that other people are consuming, and that's a slightly different thing. So we're not saying, what, let's say, music am I going to enjoy? We want to know, what music are other people listening to, so that we can be a part of that conversation as well. So if you think about something like Gangnam Style, which was a breakout hit recently, a lot of the people who were listening to that or watching the video on YouTube were doing it maybe because they actually enjoyed the song, but also partially because other people were doing it too, and they wanted to be able to join in to that conversation. And I think the number one reason that people love lists is that they create excitement about what's otherwise relatively straightforward information about what other people are doing. It turns information like the fact that Despicable Me earned $82 million at the box office this weekend into something that becomes news. Despicable Me 2 was the number one movie this weekend.
The easily consumable bite-sized quality of lists is clearly one reason that one is attracted to them. You didn't mention my top reason for liking lists, Matt, and that's sometimes if it's a curated list by a source that I trust, say Mashable's top 10 iOS apps, I go to it because I think someone's had a chance to look at all the apps and come up with the best ones. It's someone's made some judgments that I don't have the time to go make myself.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I think there's really two kinds of lists that we can think about. One are these curated lists where there's has some sort of editorial role. And the other is really a much simpler kind of list, which is just simply based on the mass behavior of others. So the New York Times, you could think of the editors choose what to go on the front page, and the readers choose sort of what goes in the most emailed box. And I think we've had these kind of lists for a long time, the New York Times book selling list, the top 40 song lists. But now, with the proliferation of choices that are available brought about by the internet, the number of lists have also dramatically increased, largely to help people sort through this sort of choice overload, the vast and unthinkable number of possible things that we could be listening to or apps that we could be downloading.
Now, you think there are some reasons we should be wary of lists. What are the top reasons you think we should be wary of lists?
So I think lists are going to have a surprising and somewhat counterintuitive effect on our culture. I think what they're going to do is they're going to make social fads, they're going to make them stronger and more unpredictable. They'll have, by making the information about what other people are doing more available, will have the result of sort of amplifying these sort of fads that can form. And so Gangnam Style is a great example. That song has had 1.7 billion with a B views on YouTube. And part of that, again, is because people see that other people are doing it, and then they start to do it as well. So some colleagues, Peter Dodds and Duncan Watts, and I have done some experiments where we've measured the success of songs in the presence and absence of these best popularity lists. And what we find is that when people have these popularity lists, the success of songs becomes more unequal. So it creates, turns these sort of stars into megastars and flops into mega flops, and it simultaneously makes these superstars more unpredictable.
So it amplifies the impact of the crowd when you're talking about a list that merely talks about how many people like this or enjoy this.
Exactly. So we have this idea in our heads of the wisdom of the crowds, sort of that we can look at other people's behavior and there must be some information in that, and sort of collectively we can all find the best things faster. But yet I think there's also this madness of the crowds. So when people start doing things because other people are doing them, that has the potential to create these kind of amplifying snowballs, and these can become completely decoupled from the underlying quality of the songs or books or articles.
So, Matt, how do we know a good list from a bad list? I kind of liked Gangnam Style, and I have to admit I watched it the first time because I saw so many people were watching it.
Yeah, so I think the distinction you made earlier about curated lists versus pure popularity lists is an important one. But also, I think if we take seriously this the second reason why lists are really popular, which is that we want to be doing what other people are doing, sort of in the absence of any notion of quality, that is, you know, one role of these cultural products is to be just something to talk about with people. They serve this role to sort of tie people together. And in that case, then even these popularity lists are really good because they make it easier for us to know what people are going to be talking about at the water cooler.
Matt Selganik is a sociology professor at Princeton, warning us about how to take these popularity lists with a grain of salt. Thanks, Matt.
Great. Thank you.